Hello, hello. Welcome, Gasheads, to this, the latest episode of Gascast, the Bristol Rovers fans podcast, coming to you from the Sportsman Pub in BS7. I'm your host, Max Alderson, and tonight I'm joined by Tom Metcalf and Jake Barber. Welcome, boys. How are we doing?
Evening. Very well, thank you. Very
Jake,
well.
You got a pizza there?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk us through your sporty pizza toppings for the night?
Absolutely fine. I've just dropped my slip on the floor.
But that's all right. Just give us a visual.
I'll give you a visual. Yeah, so I've gone for like meatballs, a bit of hot dog on there, pulled pork, and something else. Yeah, it's very nice though. Very nice, you know, topping of meat, which is, you know, my kind of thing.
It's just pure meat. There's no other things. It's just meat.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, you see what the size of me before. Do I look like I was a vegetarian? Do you know what I mean? I never turn that down. You've got to have a good amount of meat in you. So it's absolutely fine.
Oh, man. Let's talk Rovers then, boys. Gas, 2-1 winners last night at the People's Peninsula Stadium, making it 9 wins in the last 15 games. A remarkable run that has Rovers up with the rest of the chasing pack. 9th place, 2 points off the playoffs and 3 points off the automatics. Met, it is wide open.
Oh yeah, we've said for a lot of this season, if we can put a run together, the automatics are there for the taking, because Forest Green have set the pace in the early part of the season, but they're starting to dip a little bit. They might get caught by Mansfield, and I mean, look at Mansfield. Worst start to the season than us, and they're right up there. It is wide open. You only have to look at Newport last night, the only other game in our division on. They went from 7th to 3rd with a win.
Exeter,
sorry. Who did I say?
You said Newport.
Newport, I don't know why I said that. We've, like we said, put a run together, you can get in there. And now, you know, a few weeks ago, I was looking at, can we make the playoffs? You know, if we put a run together, blah, 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 can we do it? Now I'm thinking, why can't we do automatics? We've still got to play the likes of Tranmere. We've still got to play Northampton. It's in our hands, really. And actually, as the table stands now, the two teams below us, Port Vale and Salford, we've still got to play them. Obviously, the next game, especially Harrogate, put a win there, and we're right in there. Someone's going to drop out of those playoff places. My money's on Tranmere, because they are dropping like a stone. And now we've caught up our games in hand as well. The table's starting to take shape a bit. I know Port Vale and Salford have both got games on us, but their form isn't spectacular. I'm kind of feeling like we're in that, I don't know what the racing term is, like box seat, you know what I mean? Like, we're that team that can push on and get into those playoff places, potentially even automatics, you never know.
I believe you mean pole position.
No, pole position, you're already in front. Whatever the one that's like, you know, you're ready to go down the inside line. I don't watch horse racing at all. I'm well out of my depth there.
Jake, let's talk a little bit about automatics then, because that would have been a pretty ludicrous thing to be discussing maybe 6 weeks ago. But the gap between the bottom of the playoffs and the start of the automatics, as we said, Rovers are 2 points off the playoffs, 3 points off the automatics. It's surely one and the same discussion at this stage.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're certainly right in the hunt, and there's no reason why we can't get there. You know, we've done it before, you know, like a lifetime ago, but we have done it before, and there's no reason why we certainly can't make a fist of it. I'm always one about taking one game at a time, but when you're in the position that Rovers are in, you can't help but look ahead and look at other teams. But yeah, no reason why we can't get in there. You know, we got the momentum behind us. I kind of look at it in sort of in stages. I think if we match our form over the last 15 games to the end of the season, I think we'll definitely get the playoffs. But yeah, I don't see any reason why we can't get the top three. No team really, apart from Forest Green, has grabbed the division by the scruff of the neck and run away with it. They've all kind of wilted in different stages. You know, Tranmere are doing it now. Ever since they played Forest Green, really, they've kind of fallen away. So yeah, absolutely no reason why we can't go again. And fingers crossed, touch wood, everyone stays fit and all firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, and I saw the Newport game as a bit of a kind of test for us, if it was going to be hunting for playoffs or hunting for automatics. And when we lost, I thought, right, it kind of lowered my expectations. I thought, right, this is it. We're only in the hunt for playoffs now. But looking at the gap, it's so small. I just assumed that the top three would, you know, start motoring away from us as soon as we drop points. But a win last night has put us right back in the hunt, and it's unbelievably tight still.
Yes, so last night, as we said, another 3 points on the road. Jake, what impressed you most about the win against Crawley?
I think it's more the way we try to control the game out. We certainly try to keep more of a shape to our play. I think Newport, we kind of went sort of too much too quickly, which I can understand what we're trying to go for these games from the off. But I think the fact we were a little bit more patient in our game, we kind of set up with a bit more of a proper structure. I think having the two holding midfielders helped us out a lot more. I think the fact it's a professional performance as well. You know, Crawley got their goal. We've seen it earlier in the season. Tranmere at home, we threw that away. I know it's different circumstances, but Colchester away, we threw that away. So I think what impressed me is that we just kept our heads. And even when we did have some rocky spells, you know, defensively, yeah, we looked a little bit, you know, wobbly at times, but so did Crawley. You know, I thought the game itself was pretty even, if I'm honest. And I think a draw, you know, I think we just edged it. I thought, you know, we were good value for the win, but I think the fact we didn't, you know, let our heads drop, that was the biggest thing for me. And I think that's the biggest takeaway from the last sort of 2 or 3 months. When we play teams before, we conceded a goal. Oh, well, it's like we've lost. But I think one thing that Barton's definitely sort of bought in as a whole is our energy levels is so much better than what it was, you know, last season. You know, the amount of late goals we've scored and things like that. I think I just don't worry about us tiring and things like that. I think we just had great stamina, and it's just, yeah, all around a really good professional game last night.
Metz, who stood out for you?
I think for me, Collins, I mean, it's almost every week he stands out for me, but I think especially last night, his kind of like nonchalant step over to let the ball roll through to Anderson for the first goal showed awareness. I think as well, obviously he took his goal excellently. The ball over from Luca Hall was brilliant, and then he's just one touch, bang. And that's the striker who's banging form, because remember at the start of the season, he had a couple where he'd either take a few too many touches or he'd try and shoot. He'd just kind of snatch at chances. Now he's quite happy to, you know, just relax, smash it. I mean, his celebration was I got to say, it's one of the worst ones I've seen. It's like a stupid
the
little
Irish dance
thing. Yeah, I didn't get it, but
he kind of pointed for Luca Hall to come and join him, and I think he wanted them all to go in a line and do the dance.
Yeah,
I don't. But he was just left on his Larry. They've properly mugged him off there.
Mugged
they?
Him right
they
off.
Said, yeah, yeah.
Shouldn't
the
get
training,
his
they've been like,
that.
we'll join him if you score. And then he's gone to do it, and they're going, "What a muppet! What's he doing there?"
But what impressed me especially at 1-0 and 2-1, is his defending from the front. He very much harasses defenders into mistakes. The amount of time, there was one point, I think they had a corner and he was the furthest man back to make a tackle on the sideline. I think that kind of work rate, that desire, is something that you have to credit, you know, Joey Barton with, because it is something that I think another manager struggles to get into his players. But yeah, I can't fault his all-round performance, even when he's not in the goals, which he was last night, obviously. Even when he's not, he's still bringing people into play, he's still harassing defenders, he's still linking, keeping the ball at the front. I mean, he's fantastic all-round. He's been easily one of our best, I'd say, top two players this season by a mile.
Yeah, I really like Collins. I think his all-round game is fantastic for a forward. When he came in, he was kind of more of a poacher, wasn't he? He was kind of like to sit on the heels of the defenders, try and get him behind, try and wait for chances to drop to him and put them away. He's adapted his game now to just be a complete forward. You know, he presses, he harries, he holds the ball up, he wins headers, he brings others into play, but he's also that threat in behind. He's getting assists, he's getting goals. He's just got a little bit of everything. And, you know, he's got 9 goals in the league now, I think maybe 11 in all competitions. If he can get
plus two assists.
Yeah, plus a couple of assists. If he can get up to, you know, I think last season he got 20 combined goals and assists for Forest Green, 11 goals, 9 assists, I think. If he can get up to those numbers for the end of this campaign, then we're laughing, really, especially with Evans, who's got 8 goals, 8 assists. You know, that's pretty much a 20 goals partnership.
Yeah.
It's really decent. I really rate him, and he's going from strength to strength. But for me, the man I want to talk about a little bit more is James Belshaw, who we all know and we all rate quite highly, I think, on the podcast. This season he's certainly surprised a few. Came in as a number two to Yokola. He was number two at Harrogate, and he didn't really want to be a number two, but I think he came here under the premise of Anssi Yokola only plays 20 games a season before he gets injured, so you'll get your chance. But That chance maybe came a bit earlier than he thought at the start of the season. And the only times he's dropped out the squad is through injury himself. And Anthony's been his backup. So he's gone from strength to strength. But I think the last fortnight, he's gone up another level again. Even at Newport in the defeat, I thought he kept us in it. And had we snatched an equaliser at the end, I think, you know, it would have been thanks to James Belshaw that we got a result up there. But yeah, his levels of performance have just been, you know, top. How do you rate him, Jake? And do you think he's surpassed Yacola in terms of the quality he's shown during his time at Rovers?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely 100%. Yeah, he's definitely cemented himself as the number one. And I think, you know...
Because that's a high bar to get above as well, Mike.
Yeah,
consider how good Yacola was in League One for us.
100%. But you've also got to look at it as well, that when Yacola did come back in at the back end of last season, he wasn't really the player that we had before. He's not really kind of been the same since he got injured at MK Dons a couple of years ago. That kind of injury, it can mess with you permanently if you're a keeper, if you dislocate your shoulder. Anything to do with your arms, you kind of need those as a keeper. But Belshaw, to me, has kind of made season-defining saves. And you'll look back at the end of the season because that was because of Belshaw. Oh, he made a great save there. Even I remember Crawley, I think it was the third or fourth home game of the season where he kept us in the game and we won. It was when Leon Clark scored his first goal. You know, he has made saves that, if they're done in the Premier League or Champions League or in Europe, they're talked about for weeks on end. But it's because he's a little old Bristol Rovers, they're never talked about. And I kind of like that, because that means we could hopefully keep him. You know, he's at a good age and he's 30. He's got plenty more years in front of him. And I feel confident when he's in goal. You know, people can look and say his kicking ain't great, but if he keeps the ball out of the back of the net, it don't really matter the rest of it, really. That's his job, is to stop the ball from going in the back of the net. And yeah, he's just been fantastic. And you know, I think what's good about him, he's got a sensible head. When you hear him speak, he's very intelligent. He knows what he's doing. You know, he's got his head screwed on. He's been around the block enough times. He's been in non-league. You know, he's relishing the opportunity to be at, you know, no disrespect to Harrogate, a good-sized club. And yeah, he's just reaping the rewards. And I think now that we've got a defence in front of him, that's kind of a bit more settled. Takes the pressure off of him a little bit. But yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic. And yeah, as much as I like Yacola, I think when you total up the amount of games or seasons he's been out, I think he's missed over a season through injury. It's, you know, he's not going to be here for much longer. And it's a shame because he's a top keeper. But, you know, unfortunately, he's now finding himself as a backup. And you know, for him, I think he'll be moving on in the summer.
Yes. Chris Power asks on Twitter, will any previous doubters now concede that Nicky Anderton isn't just one of our most improved players, but now an automatic pick for first 11. Mets, do you want to talk about Shiniesta?
I mean, Shiniesta, that is directed squarely at me, because last week I was slagging him off, calling him a bomb scare. Yes, I will eat a bit of humble pie. I think in that back four, I feel a lot more confident with him at left back. We were kind of talking about the options we've got there, and I think he'd be my preferred option. And, you know, previously, i.e. last week, no, 2 weeks ago, sorry, when we last recorded, I was saying he's best of a bad bunch kind of thing. But actually, looking at last night, I was just like, and Barrow the other week, we do look a lot more solid. And I'm saying this like I'm almost like embarrassed to say it, but actually he is a good defender. He is very good at what he does, and we look so solid within there. Whereas, you know, with Harry Anderson like getting up the pitch, we do leave gaps there. He's quite stay at home. I like that. He can score. He's got two this season, I think, one off his shin at Harrogate. Let's hope he does that again on Saturday and a header at home. But yeah, going forward, he's not going to offer all that much, but at home, yeah, very happy with how he is. And like Weeksy was trying to argue last week, you know, he's a good one to have in the box with height, because, you know, apart from Taylor, that back four is looking quite short. So when you got Anderton in there, it helps, definitely helps.
I think I've always said with Anderton is he's a League Two centre back, and he's shown us that. You know, he's not been remarkable, but I don't think he's been remotely bad, and I can't really recall too many mistakes he's made, apart from in maybe the first five games when everyone was having a bad start to the campaign. And as a defender, when you get that bomb scare tag, it's very difficult for fans to shake that perception of you. They only need to see one early mistake to think, oh, he's a donkey, oh, he's no good. because you, especially as defenders, you want them to be reliable.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. That first kind of like bit, the first five games or so, he didn't look settled, and our back four wasn't settled, so you can kind of cut him a bit of slack, but I'd already then labelled him as you're a bomb scare.
Once he's got that label, it becomes quite
difficult. I agree with you on that one,
I think he's done very well to shake that, and I agree. It reminds me a lot of James Clark, but on the left-hand side. He's just
very, much so.
Very good very defensively. So. Isn't going to offer you masses going forwards. But, you know, I think when you consider how young our defence is, Luca Hall, Connolly and Taylor, you need him back there. He may do a lot of organisational work that we just aren't seeing because we're not, you know, on that pitch with him. But
he does have the odd run forward. And I'm always shocked when he does it. He has like that run on the inside channel and I'm like, where are you going? Like, literally, where are you going?
I think because he can be a little bit, I don't want to use it random, but because you don't quite know what you're going to expect from him, it can kind of work in our favour. And I was kind of, as you said yourself, like, I was kind of thinking probably until quite recently, like the Stevenage game, when I saw him start, I was thinking, oh, he's going to be starting. But kind of the last sort of four or five games, I thought, do you know what? Like, and I said this before we came on air, I said, like, when we played at Orion, I thought we missed him there. Because he didn't, I don't think he played against Orient, I don't think, away. And I think he kind of shores up the back line. Whereas, okay, yeah, he's not very good going forward, even though he's got a little bit, I suppose. He allows the rest of the team to push on. But yeah, he's been a valuable player, and he certainly has made a difference recently.
I want to talk about Luca Hall, a player who's a very exciting prospect for us, coming through the youth academy. Now pretty much starting every single game at right back. I think that's exactly what we've been calling for, is someone who's a natural right back. And for him to come into the side and solidify that place at such a young age just is testament to how hard he's worked. My only criticism with him, I think last time I came on the pod 4 weeks ago, because I missed the last one, was that against Swindon and Oldham, he just looked a little bit lost going forwards, which is as expected as a young player, you know, going into senior football as a defender. You're maybe not going to be too good at in your attacking play and supporting the attack. But last two games, I think he's been really dangerous. Got the assist last night for Collins' goal. He's just progressing really nicely, Mets.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The Swindon game especially, he kind of looked lost when he was going forward. I mean, Swindon are a really good side, so, you know, it's more difficult to play against them, obviously. But I agree with you. I when he started against Mansfield, I thought, brilliant. You know, everyone loves to see young Gashead in the team kind of thing. But with the system that Joey wanted to play, there was no real place for a solid right back. Which I feel like he's flipped now, and now we're playing a system that actually suits the players that we have, rather than trying to force, you know, the square pegs into round holes kind of job. And Luke Hall's been a massive beneficiary of that. And I agree with you, defensively solid. I have absolutely no complaints with him at all. He's got good pace. He's good in the air. Knows exactly what he's doing. Going forward, yeah, he leaves a bit to be desired. His ball over for Collins last night was, yeah, really good. He's put a couple of good crosses in, puts a few of them into the stands. I don't really care about that too much. I mean, his main job is to keep the ball out of the net at the other end, and he does that superbly well. And with a settled back four, you know, as much as Taylor is young, he's only 20, that little relationship there on the right-hand side of the defence, I think that has helped him so much, because if it is chop and change every week, it disrupts a young player like that, and having a settled back four like that has really helped him. And I think as a defensive unit, that kind of back five, pretty solid, he's an integral part to it, I think. And yeah, like you said, it's all credit to him and the hard work he's put in.
19 years old, just signed a 2-year contract extension, which will come into play in the summer, playing every single week, developing really well. Jake, how far can this boy go at Rovers?
At Rovers, well, he can certainly go far, absolutely. You know, whether, you know, Rovers is the platform for him to go, I always kind of look at, you know, these teams that like to bring in younger players, like teams like, you know, higher in the the pyramid, like Brentford and your Peterboroughs and so on. You know, if he was to go tomorrow, it'd be one of those teams I'd like him to go to, because they know how to nurture him well. But 100%, he's certainly for one for Rovers to keep, because it's not very often you can find a good right back unless he's well established or anything like that. So the fact he's progressing on really, really nicely, you know, I do kind of worry a little bit that he may get burned out a little bit. And I think the fact we've got, I don't think we've got any real cover there, kind of is a little bit of a concern, but that's not down to him. That's, you know, just down to, you know, how it is sometimes. But yeah, he can go far. If he keeps his head screwed on right, he can go very, very far. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about burnout with him because he's a young lad. He's got young legs and he seems keen to learn and play as much as he can. And obviously I'd like us to keep him. I'm just thinking back, who was the last player to kind of break through the academy? It was Kilgore, who had a good start, but then had that the old second season syndrome. But I don't fear that with Luca Hall. I think he just looks... Yeah, it's very rare you get someone who's 19 years old come into a senior side and look like they've been playing senior football for 5 years.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because we saw it last season with Pabs and Zane Walker, Gas Cast Zone. You know, they came in, but and they looked decent at League One level, but they didn't look as assured as Luca Hall does. And now, you know, Zane's gone to King's Lynn with Tommy Widgington and Pabs has gone out on loan. So I think it... Those are the differences. When you see a player come in, nail a spot and stay there and look assured, you're like, right, you're going to stick around, rather than, you know, fair play to Zane and Paz for kind of stepping in last season, but you always felt like they were a bit of a stopgap because we had injuries and they weren't going to force their way into a team like Luca does.
Yes. Return to the side for Coots and Finlay last night. How integral were they to the performance, Jake, do you think?
Oh, massively. Yeah, like, Coots and Finlay are massive. You know, they're absolutely fantastic. As a duo together, they're great. I think they're certainly very assured in front of the back line. Finlay, to me, is a starter every week, 100%. You know, yeah, sometimes you know, he might get a little bit hot-headed, but you kind of need that a little bit, I think. Coots, you know, I wasn't his biggest fan earlier in the season.
I'm still not.
I don't think anyone was. And that's absolutely fine, yeah. I mean, I think he's come in with a lot of fanfare that, you know, he's played at Sheffield United and played at a good level. You know, they can say someone can look old very quickly. And I think that's happened to Coots, I think, a little bit. But, you know, for right now, which is where we are, you know, our team at the moment, with the exception of the back line, is, for now, you know, the two together, you know, they're not exactly a dynamic duo, but they kind of go together very, very well. And I think, because I said, they complement each other really, really well. And like I said, when one of them's not on the team, you know, if it's Whelan and Finlay, yeah, that's fine. But I think, you know, Coots and Finlay together, they're automatically on the team sheet for me.
And Sam Nicholson dropped from the side last night. Evans playing deeper, and then Elliot Anderson playing out wide with Harry Anderson on the other wing. What have you made of Nicholson this season, Mats? I want to hear your honest take.
I've been pretty disappointed with him. I've got to be honest, I've said it before. I think he was obviously one of our stars in League One, and we all kind of worried about keeping hold of him. He got that injury right at the end of the season, so we were like, right, that's kind of kept him safe, and he's going to absolutely nail League Two. You know, he's got the odd goal and assist, but he hasn't been doing it on a consistent basis. I think Evans and Anderson have both been showing him up, frankly. He has got the quality. It's undeniable. When he gets on the ball, everyone kind of takes their bum off their seat and starts like leaning over, getting ready for him to do something amazing. And he has got it in the locker, just not on a... For this season, for some reason, just not on a consistent basis. And the most frustrating thing for me, because all his approach play, fantastic, is, you know, link up, brilliant. Finishing, dreadful.
Yeah.
Like, really bad. And I don't know if that's just a kind of... a confidence thing, or just I don't know, it seems to have deserted him this season, which is upsetting. He gets in that he could have so many goals this season, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I could get it if, like, last season he was kind of in and out with injuries. He had so many little niggles last season where he was out for 5-6 games, then back for 2 or 3, then out for 5-6, then back for 6. I don't think he's been injured this season. I think he's been fit pretty much the whole campaign. And yet he's not really put much of a run of form together, and I wasn't surprised to see him dropped against Crawley. I thought against Newport, the one-on-one he had where he tried to chip the keeper instead of... It's easy for us to say, who am I to tell Sam Nicholson how to play football? I'm just some average Joe from Chipping Sobury, but I just question his finishing. There's been a lot of positions where he should bury it, and he's just gone for something a little bit too ambitious.
And I wonder if actually, like, I'm putting just my expectations are up here.
Yeah.
Kind of thing after last season. I'm thinking.
But I think, like you said, in the summer we were worried about keeping him. We thought he might get move to another League One club. Now I'm thinking, what happens with him in the summer? Because he's out of contract. Do we renew him? Do we give him a new deal? I personally would give him a new deal. And I think it'd be realistic for us to keep him. But I just question whether he's really hit it off here and whether he may want another move. Could see him maybe going back to Scotland now, back to Hearts, who were also in for him. It's interesting to think about Sam Nicholson's future. I really hope he can, over the next 10 games, well, we've got 11 games left, so 11 games, I really hope he can kick on and just show us his what we've seen before and help us finish strong and get into those playoffs, because he has got it in there. But for whatever reason this season, I just don't think he's hit the standards which he set last year.
Absolutely not. I think part of Nicholson's, not his problem, Marissa, but I think because last season was so poor around him, and I kind of thought about this in the pub at Newport, I thought he was such a good player in a really poor side last year. I kind of think of it in a way as like the whole Michael Smith thing when he was playing at Rovers. Well, is he this good of a player because of who he's got around him, or is he really this good? I think he's a top player. But when it comes down to the crunch, and I've said this all season long, I don't think he's the player he was last year. The amount of stick I've gotten for it, and it's like, I'm not saying he's playing badly or he's playing awfully. He's just not the player that we saw last season. Yeah. I think maybe because League Two is more of a, you know, lump seven bells at you. I mean, he wouldn't survive 5 minutes in non-league if he played there. You know, if he was at like a, you know, a free flow in League One side, you know, teams like, you know, when Coventry were out there, Peterborough were out there, he'd excel. Being a team like Rovers trying to, you know, get into the playoffs in League Two, it's not his game. But there's definitely a player there. Definitely keep him for next season. But yeah, he wouldn't be the first one I put on my team sheet right now. It's good that we've got players that can come in, because that was kind of the problem earlier in the season. We didn't have anyone else, and it's a good headache to have. There's more to come out of Nicholson. I just wish he'd just improve on his finishing, because there's been certain times this season where he seems to score the more difficult ones, and he never seems to score the more simple ones. Yeah. Not saying Saturday was an easy chance, because I was looking at it again. I'm thinking, was he off balance? He was kind of...
The ball bounced up right to his knee as well.
Yeah,
it was like really awkward height for him, and the keeper was coming at him quite fast.
Yeah, it was,
so
it was one
of those. Not going to be too critical on that, but it was just another example of another Nicholson chance. You know, I think he's got six goals this season.
Yeah, it's not a lot for him.
No,
and he doesn't really play as a wide winger. He kind of plays as like an inside forward, doesn't he? So, kind of was hoping to hit better numbers this season, but not going to be too critical of the side. He's obviously played an integral role in a side that's got on a brilliant run, and he is an important part of that. I think maybe our expectations of him are a lot higher, and yeah, it's a difficult one. I do want to talk about Newport a little bit. I know we've been really positive about the Crawley result, but I do want to talk about the defeat, the 1-0 loss at Newport. It was a good bounce back on Tuesday. The response from the group was superb. But Metz, are you concerned at all about our quality against playoff sides, given that if we do finish in the playoffs, we will have to beat a team of their quality over two legs? You know, that's not something we can fluke. We have to convincingly be better than a side like Newport in the playoffs. Does that concern you at this
stage? Yeah, that's just slapped me right in the face. I hadn't even thought about that. Honestly, I hadn't thought about it. That is a bit of a worry. I'd say, yeah, our historic record against top teams in the top six is pretty dreadful. But I'd say on the other side, I'm thinking of that. Remember the trailer for the Fleetwood documentary that never got released, when Joey Barton's in the dressing room, I think it's Sunderland away, talking about getting the boys out, and he's just like doing this speech, and all I can think now is him in the Wembley dressing room telling these players exactly what they need to hear, just getting them right up for it.
Oh, I'm not talking about Wembley. I'm talking about the two semis. Like Wembley,
even the semis. Like
you and I both know, you can fluke a win at Wembley.
Oh yeah,
that's one game.
Very good point.
We have to beat a side over two legs. That's not something you can fluke. You have to be to win a playoff semis on aggregate. You can't really fluke it. You have to be the better team. That's why it's over two legs.
No, that's a very, very good point. And it's like I said earlier, I don't really fear, although our record is dreadful and I keep saying it, I don't really fear anyone.
Okay, so if we played Newport over two legs in the playoffs, who do you think would win, us or Newport?
I'm looking
at this stage.
I'm looking at Jake and he's shaking his head, so I'm going to...
Because I think we get beat.
You think we get
beat? At this stage.
I agree with you.
I do also think is that we've got another gear in us to go up. I think we're probably in fourth gear. And these last 10 games, we need to go into fifth gear.
We are not losing a playoff semi-final at the Mem. I'm going to say that now. I'm going to put my head on the block with that one.
I would agree with that. But, you know, I think we've got another gear to go up. Because, like you said, we've only beaten two teams in the top six this season. That was Sutton and Northampton. Those are the only two teams we've beaten out of the top six.
Let's hope we get one of those then.
And I'm looking ahead to April now. And we've got, as you've said, we've got Forest Green at home. We've got Tranmere away. We've got Salford at home. We've got Port Vale away. We've got Northampton away. These are tough games.
Yeah, they're
and
big games.
I think that those five games that I've just said, the five of the 11 we've got left, those five are going to define whether we're going to go up or not.
I agree.
You know, automatics or not. If we don't have a good showing in those games and we finish in the playoffs, and we haven't got good results against them, I'm not confident that we're gonna get to the final.
It's different but though, isn't
we,
it? It's
if we do put in a good performance and we prove that we're as good as, if not better than them, then I'm 100% backing us. But we've not shown it yet, have we?
No, I completely agree. But I feel like the playoffs is almost its own mini tournament, isn't it? Because it's just
like
everything goes. Yeah, form goes out the window. Everything goes out the window. It's just like. Completely separate.
I think form is huge for playoffs. I think it really is. I mean, you look at the 2007 side, we were on that amazing run, snuck in at the playoffs, and then that team that has all the momentum versus the team who's kind of just been sat at the top of the playoffs all season. It's always really interesting.
Yeah, there's always that classic, you know, the Bolton horse versus the team that's disappointed from getting like that third place and is then having to do the playoffs. I'm sure there's statistics to say that team never goes up because they're always off it. But with the playoffs, you just... I have faith in Joey Barton to get the players up for it, like unbelievably up for it, like to the point where they're running through brick walls. I mean, if they're not already, I think if we see them in a playoff semi-final, especially under the lights of the Mem, I think they're going to be Mem-possessed. And I don't think anyone in this division can go against that.
Well, we have to get there first, and that is still not a foregone conclusion. We may well slip up and finish, you know, as we are currently ninth, so lots of work to do, and let's not take it for granted. Let's look ahead to Harrogate. Oh, actually, before we move on, I do want to mention Newport away. There is a bar. You didn't go, did you, Matt?
No, Jake did.
There is a bar in the away end called Rodney's Bar. And I think it surpasses the Saddlers Club in terms of quality for an away bar. So it's a full-on bar in the away end. Not in a concourse. Yeah. It's a bar that they've built.
So standalone.
And it says Rodney's, I think it's called, what is it called? Rodney's Bar?
Something like that,
or something.
Yeah.
So, and it's got Rodney's in like a big flashing lights on the front. So it looks like a bar.
Keen. Yeah.
You go in, it's got an old school oak bar with taps on.
Ooh, right.
And it's a lovely carpeted floor.
Loved a good carpet.
TV screens on the walls. And it's brilliant. It's like a pub in the ground. And if both of us stay in the league or both of us go up next year, I think you've got a ticket off your list because it surpasses the Saddlers Club for me.
I will say, I was...
In the ground.
Surpasses
reasons.
The Saddlers
I was
Club.
Gutted. I was driving. I was gutted. I thought, like, no, this would be... I think me and Jack missed about 15 minutes at the second half. We were just in the bar. Probably didn't really want to come out, really.
This is every home game.
it was brilliant.
It was a good away day, I thought, and I enjoyed it despite the loss. Let's move on to Harrogate, who are 14th in the League Two table as they come to the Mem on Saturday. They're 19th in the form table over the last 12 games. In comparison, Rovers are 9th in the league and 2nd in the same form table over the last 12. The reverse fixture, Rovers picked up a 1-0 win thanks to Nick Anderson's shinned effort. This game is followed by another home game midweek to Colchester as well. So, double header at the Mem with a tough April ahead. Bearing in mind the games we've got coming up, Mets, as I mentioned, all those 6 points in the playoffs, is 6 points is a must, right? There's in these two games at home, we've got to get the 6 points, but no easy task.
It helps. This is one of the reasons I think the Newport loss wasn't that big a deal, is because we had the wins around it, and these are the games that give you the cushion so that we can go to Northampton and, you know, it's a bit of a free hit. I mean, Harrogate, I thought, were pretty rubbish, even though they were right up there when we played them when we went away. I didn't think they were all that good. They were a classic non-league team, one big striker, knock it to him, and that was it, and Taylor kept him dead quiet. the entire 90 minutes. Obviously, Anderton's shinned effort that trickled over the line was an absolute delight. But I just can't see anything apart from a home win. But then again, I said that we steamroller Oldham away. You know, there's no games you can take for granted, because any slip, because it's so tight up there, any slip up is going to be punished. And we're looking for teams above us to slip up, any kind of like drop points anywhere, and we're in. So we can't be the ones dropping points. So we can't look at Harrogate and be like, well, that's an easy home win, we're just going to go on to the next one. Same as Barrow. Like, how hard did we make that?
Very. Almost made a horse's ass out of it. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, yes. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, so then, yeah, and then Colchester again. You know, it's another one where we're like, well, they're below us in the table, we'll definitely get 3 points. There aren't any easy games.
There's not, but by the same token, we need to win both.
Yeah.
We need to win both. Bare minimum of
4 points. Yeah. That's bare minimum.
Yeah, I mean, even 4 points, I'd be a little bit like...
I'd be disappointed with it, yeah.
Because, you know, that we've got some tough games coming up. I know these are quote-unquote easy games. There are no easy games, as you've said. But we need to go and prove what we've just proved in the last 10 and keep putting these sides to bed, especially at home, as we have. If we want to make a charge for automatics, because, you know, we need to win every single game. We've got 11 games left. I'd say probably we need to win 6 of the 11 to make playoffs. And I think we need to probably win 8 of the 11 to make automatics, maybe 9 of the 11 to make automatics. It's depending on who we beat, obviously, because there's a lot of 6-pointers in there. But, you know, we cannot drop points to these two games at all, I don't think. And I'm not saying that we will win or that we should win. I mean, it will be tough, and I doubt it's going to be a 3-0. It's probably going to be a one-goal margin, you know, as we do it. But it's very important that we don't slip up in these games, really.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I said after Saturday, you know, I was disappointed as I was after Saturday. The season's not won and lost on Saturday's result. If you don't get results in these two games, you know, I can pick out 5 games where we should have done better, and if we don't make the playoffs, you can look at X, Y, and Z. These two coming up, if we don't get, say, playoffs, they're going to be ones that you highlight straight away.
Yeah.
And this could be a season-defining result if we don't win. If you win the game, you just keep the momentum going. If you don't, it's going to be looked under the microscope a million times, because, you know, these games, you know, with respect to Harrogate, they're safe. They're probably not going to catch the playoffs. I think they're like 12 points behind the playoffs. They should be fine. Unless their form absolutely tanks and they don't win any of their last like 11 games, then it might be a bit twitchy. But they're almost on their holidays. We're in the spring already. You know, fingers crossed, you know, they'll let us sneak a couple by. But, you know, with Barrow a couple of weeks ago, that was a really difficult game there. And I said before, I'd take a scrappy 1-0. I'd take another scrappy 1-0 Saturday. As long as that's a green ticket at the end of the game, you get the 3 points. At this stage of the season, that's all that matters.
It's results over performances now, 100%. Isn't it, Mats, really?
We're in the running, essentially.
Doesn't care how it goes in. I'm thinking back to the running under Daryl Clark, and, you know, you just, even then, some of the games, it just came off someone's arse and went in, and we just need a bit of that, I think, going into these games. Let's talk a bit about the team selection. Would you change much? I know it's quite a strange team selection with both Andersons on the wings over the weekend. Would you bring Nicholson back in, or would you keep it as it is?
It's a difficult one, because I know Joey often says, you know, a winning team picks itself, and then it'll change the team. I love it. I would keep it as it is. I think Nicholson needs to essentially force his way in. He really needs to, like, force someone out of the way. I think the way that Anderson has been playing, Evans, I think, for me, is one of the first 3 names on the team sheet, so he's never coming out. Coots and Finley, obviously. Coots and Whelan, for me, are interchangeable.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
I think the team at the moment picks itself. I can't see anything wrong with what we have. And, I mean, Anderson bagged again last night. He's actually growing his stature. I think last night was probably one of his best games as well. So I think Nicholson's going to have a really difficult time getting back in the side, and as would anyone. I think that's right. As long as we're still winning, you're keeping that togetherness going, that momentum going. Why change it?
Yeah, so let's get some score predictions from you then, boys. We'll start with you, Jake. Score prediction for Saturday.
Oh, dear.
Put your neck on the line.
I know. It's always hard being first, I suppose. Goodness me. 2-0.
2-0. That's solid.
That's brave. That's brave. That's what it is.
I think I'm going to go 2-0 as well. I agree with that. Mm. We don't concede a lot of goals lately.
No, especially at home.
The only time we conceded two in the last, I think, 10 games was against Oldham. Other than that, I think it's just been the old one goal here and there. I'm pretty positive in our defence, and I like our options going forward. So I'm going to go 2-0. About
yeah,
you,
I was going to say 2-0 as well.
You can if you want.
You can. No,
I'm going to do it.
No one will judge you.
But I'm going to say it's going to be scrappy. It's going to be one of those like real twitchy ones, like kind of like
go 1-0 up early on, be scrappy all the way through, and then get a second right.
Yeah,
at the end to
like
fears.
A really horrible one that makes you nervous because all this season, the amount of time. Well, last night was a perfect example where we're 2-1 up, we're cruising, and then suddenly they're just all over us, and Belshall's making last ditch saves left, right, and centre. I'm like, I don't need this. My heart does not need this. No, it's not.
Even our mum was nervous. my mum didn't care about the Rovers, and she was feeling nervous. So yeah, I'd love it for her to be sort of stress free.
Three 2-0 wins in the predictions from the Gascast crew. Just a few more questions sent in before we finish. I do want to go over. Phil Church has asked Met, would you rather beat Scunthorpe on the final day to secure automatics or beat Ben Garner Swindon in a playoff final?
Oh, that's a very naughty one. I think playoff final, just to really rub it in his bold face. I really like Ben Garner. I've got nothing against him. Now that he's manager of another team, you know, I hate him, obviously. And a playoff final would be fantastic. I'd love to go to Wembley again.
Yeah.
And not be as, you know, shit up as I was for the conference final, because that was ridiculous.
Oh, I'd still be dead nervous. I would say probably I'd like to beat Scunthorpe, because one, automatics. I would take automatics over playoffs all day, just because you've proven you're worthy of an automatic promotion. Yeah. And two, to be promoted at the Mem is fantastic. It was great last time. I'd love to do it again.
Yeah, you're already
fans
on Gloucester
on the pitch,
Road. Yeah,
they're in Gloucester Road.
Yeah,
it's just the stuff dreams are made of. So that'll be it for me. What about you, Jake?
Yeah,
Wembley I think we might be getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if my head was on the line there, yeah, I'd definitely do autos. It's just because first you all get the lottery of the playoffs, and I know it's if we would get there, I know, but you know, you're in the playoffs, it's going to be nervous as it is, I think. And
he's just saying, he says we would win it.
Oh, we would win it.
No. I'm saying that in this scenario, you have to pick an automatic promotion win or a playoff final win, so you don't have to worry about the nerves.
No,
we've done it.
We've already won.
I read into you deep.
Where do you want the United hang?
It's got to be autos. I think, as you said, Max, you know, the winning of all my promotion on your own ground, it'd be great. And yeah, that'd be a great afternoon if we do that.
Ben Carter has tweeted, what's the likelihood of Connor Taylor being with us next season if we get promoted? I would think pretty high. Wouldn't you, Matt?
Pretty high. So I spoke to the Stoke pod earlier this season when they were kind of asking for a status update on him, kind of, and I was saying, you know, his first name on the team sheet is for me easily, and he's been, I say, our best performer. I think him, then Collins for me, then Belshall. Oh, that's a top three.
That's controversial. That one.
Yeah, that is a bit actually. Evan, fourth or fifth for me.
I'm in agreement there.
Yeah, thank
I'm
you,
in agreement
Jake.
There.
But he said that he thinks there's a good chance we could have him next season if we get promoted, because it's kind of a natural progression for him. Obviously, Stoke trust Joey Barton with centre-backs because they've sent players to him before.
Sitar, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, good chance, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we go up, they'll want to loan him to a League One club. And why would they loan him to anyone else but us? Because
yeah.
they
exactly,
know that
yeah.
we'll play him every week.
Yeah,
and they know that they can trust him with us. I think if we don't go up, obviously there's no chance, but I think if we don't go up, I do think there's a good chance we could get Connolly again. I don't think he's really pulled up trees here. He's just kind of been 6 out of 10
steady,
7 or 8 out of 10 some weeks, but mostly just steady. I think he probably needs another year in League 2, and I think Cardiff will probably
need to get on the weights a bit
that.
As well, I think.
Yeah, he's still developing physically. He's not as tall as Taylor. But I think I think there's a good chance we could get Connolly again next year regardless if we wanted him. But Taylor, if we don't go up, he's gone along with several others.
Yeah.
But either way, I think Barton would want to bring in some more centre-backs in the summer anyway. We can't be having two loanies there all season.
It's just not sustainable.
Last question. Elliot has tweeted in asking, who is your unsung hero of the season so far? We'll go around the table, starting with you, Jake.
Do you want me to not start with you? No, you can start with me. I don't know if I give you a straight answer. It's difficult. Unsung hero for me is probably... At the moment, it's probably Nick Anderson, if I'm honest. The way he's kind of come on leaps and bounds, I think Anderson, has done really well as well. But Nick Anderson, especially after the start he's made, and the fact he's come on really, really well. You know, like I said, you know, the big players, you get all the plaudits, you know, your Taylors and your Belshaw, but it's kind of like those who are in the engine room. You know, they're very, very handy to have. You know, I think even Finley, you know, Finley's well liked, you know, he's well thought about, but, you know, for every player that's going to give you 9 out of 10, you need those solid 6s and 7s. Like you said earlier, very similar to, like, James Clark, and, yeah, for me, it's definitely Nick Anderton there.
Go on, Max, you go next.
Ooh, I'm going to go Glenn Whelan. I think what he does in the dressing room is a huge influence. It's so good to have someone who's played so many Premier League games. Just have that senior head in the dressing room is massive. I think he offers us so much. He would have, you know, he's been there, done it. He knows every single scenario and every single situation. After every result, he's been there before. He'll know how the players are feeling. He'll know how to lift them. And I think that goes a long way. And we've spoken before about the mentality of this dressing room and how strong it is. And part of that is, well, obviously a big part of that is Joey Barton's, the way he gets them motivated. But I think also the senior leadership we've got within the squad, Coots, Rodman from the sidelines, but particularly Glenn Whelan. His experience trumps anyone else in this league, for sure, in terms of what he's been and done. And I think what he offers, not on the pitch, but off it, in training every day, on the coach, travelling to games, after defeats, after wins, there's a lot we probably don't see, a lot we don't know about, but I think it would probably, I would be surprised if he doesn't have a huge impact on that dressing room and the mentality of the group, for sure. So for me, he's massively unsung, and he to be honest, I'd love him to get a coaching role at the club. If he retires at the end of the season, becomes a coach, I think he's so well suited to that, and I would 100% be taking him up on that if that's something he wanted to do with Rovers, for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. I completely agree with you. Yeah, I think coaching role for him next season, if he's not already doing a bit now. I was going to say Glenn Whelan as well, because, I mean, where we are in East Stand, I can see exactly what he's doing. He just oozes class. As much as when we got him, I thought, past it, legs are gone. Doesn't really need to. If someone goes past him, he'll just drag him down. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of a tactical foul, and he knows exactly when to do them. I love it.
Yeah. Big up Glenn Whelan, the Glenn Whelan fan club here at the Sporty.
Go on, Glenn.
That's about it for this week. Thanks very much for listening. Yes, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time for another episode. Hopefully a couple more wins under the belt and Rovers can break into the playoff zone for the first time this season. Wouldn't that be something? But yeah, thanks again very much for listening. All that's left to say here is up the gas.
Up the gas.